Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you all back. For our guests, my name is Anton, and I'm the Senior Minister here at All Saints. What a happy day it is to be back in person at church. It's been a long time coming, and of course, hello to everyone watching online as well. Lovely to have you join us. I don't know about you, but coming out of lockdown has felt a bit like a new beginning. Maybe especially for my family because, as Tom mentioned, we've had 18 weeks in lockdown. We only had 12 weeks in our house before lockdown, so this is all new again for us. But it's feeling like a new beginning because we get to see people again, we could eat at a cafe, we can have haircuts again, the kids are back at school, and we can buy non-essential items once more in person. And so I'd love to be talking about beginnings this morning, but God has other ideas. For God wants us to think about the end. And I should probably follow what God wants at this point. His word today is not focused on a new beginning, but actually on the end of all things. So if you've got your Bible there, why don't you open again to 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 7, our passage for today, starts with, "The end of all things is near." And so as we start to resume the normal activities of life, and especially as we are once again back together in church, talking and relating and serving one another, God wants us to look at the end of all things. Let's see why. A little while ago now, we had all the Matrix movies, and apparently there's a new Matrix film coming out with Keanu Reeves. And in thinking about the end, in an interview with Keanu, he was asked, "What do you think happens when we die?" I was very intrigued to hear what the celebrity's answer was. And he took a deep breath, and he said, "I know that the ones who love us will miss us." Now, I think, for someone who probably has no idea what actually will happen, I think that was a pretty good answer. But if we have faith in Jesus, we get a different answer, a better answer. And not only is it better, but it's the reality answer. Because Jesus is the only one who has died and has been raised back to life, never to die again. And so we can hear about the end. We can know what happens when we die and beyond if we listen to Jesus. And we heard from Jesus what happens at the end in our first Bible reading. The end of all things, is described as a feast. Remember feasts that you could have with other people? Here again from Luke 13, "People will come from east and west, north and south, and take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God." This is the analogy, this is a picture Jesus uses to describe the end. It'll be like a feast in abundant provision and enjoyment. We've got people gathered from everywhere, all coming under the good rule of God. And other parts of the Bible add to that picture. It's when Jesus returns in triumph as King. Those who trust in Jesus will be raised with a new body that won't fade out, that won't get tired, that'll be imperishable, and will enjoy a renewed world with no more viruses, no more sin, no more death. And we'll live our lives in constant praise of the one who is worthy of all praise. That's what will happen in the end. But there's more to the end, isn't there? As we saw in the parable Jesus told, you enter the feast through the narrow door of trusting and obeying Jesus. Because if you want to enter the kingdom of God at the end, you need to let the King rule in your heart now. And the consequence, if we decide not to do that, is will be thrown out of the feast, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so this is the picture of the end. It's of a feast for those who enter through Jesus, but judgment for those who don't. If you want to read up more on the end times, here are a few chapters which you can look at as well. But Jesus doesn't tell us what will happen at the end to merely give us a good answer to Stephen Colbert. He expects that keeping the end in mind will have a profound impact on our present. Might even change the way that you relate to each other in about half an hour's time. And that's exactly the focus of what happens in our passage for today. As we come out of lockdown, let's not get so enamored by the things that we can do again. But let us set our minds on what will happen in the end when Jesus returns, and may that focus how we live today. So the Apostle Peter reminds us the end of all things is near. Jesus could return at any point. And so if the end is near, if you trust in Jesus, you know that the feast of eternity will come, but also that judgment will come, that if we, for those that don't turn to Christ, then we, as God's people, as all the saints in North Epping, we are to be people who pray, who love, who offer hospitality, and who serve. Knowing the end means that we'll be people like this. And so it's very convenient that on All Saints' Day today, where we can finally come back together, we have God specifically addressing us in how we relate to one another. You know, as we've seen through 1 Peter, much of the letter relates to how we deal with the outside world. But today's passage focuses on who are we to be? If we're to be holy as God is holy, who are we to be and how are we to relate to one another? So firstly, the end of all things is near, so pray. Again, back in your Bibles, verse 7. And we see for the second time in this letter that we're called to be alert and of sober mind, this time so that we can pray. If we know that the road to the feast of the kingdom of God is narrow, then we're going to need to constantly ask for God's help for us to keep trusting him and obeying Jesus. Because if our minds are distracted, then our focus will squarely be on the shopping that we can do, or all the things that we now need to organise, or the friends we can now see, and we might wander off the path of trusting Jesus. But if we remind ourselves, as we hear the word of God, that God is King, and that our eternal destiny relies on how we relate to God, then we must deepen our relationship with God through prayer. I know this has been true of me, maybe for you as well. Through lockdown, I was just so concentrating on getting through and getting my family through that I'd forget to pray. I'd forget that I actually need Jesus. And I'd forget how wonderful it is to bring all things to the God who's sovereign over everything in prayer. But if I look less at what I'm going through now and more on the end that's coming, well, that will help me remember to pray, because it's only by God's power that I and you will keep trusting Jesus to the end. But also, if for the end, those who are without Christ, if they're going to be excluded from the feast, that should drive us to prayer as well, shouldn't it? We're going to need to constantly ask God to change people's hearts. If we're distracted and not thinking about the end of all things, we might forget about the true reality for those who are without Jesus. One second. if you're without Jesus, then you're a bit like this branch. It looks healthy and well, but of course it's completely cut off from the tree, its only source of life. And so let us pray that those far from God may come to him, that they may meet Jesus through the Bible, trust Jesus with their lives. Let's be praying that that may happen. And I don't know if that's you. Maybe you are far from God. Well, the end is at hand. And at All Saints, we'd love to help you come to know Jesus and get reconnected with the source of all life. If we're aware of the end, alert to the end, we will pray. But also, if the end of all things is near, above all, we will love one another deeply. It's in verse 8. We have been apart for so long, haven't we, as a church family? We haven't had the chance, really, to love one another. We've had a few ways here and there. But we're back now. And there's lots of things we can do, big and small, to love one another deeply. You know, we've got the chance for Toys and Tucker to love other people elsewhere, those in need. But this is particularly looking at loving one another, people part of our church family. And the word for love in verse 8 carries the sense not of romantic love, but of other person-centeredness. It's having concern for the other, doing right by one another. And maybe you've already had the chance to show love to someone already as we've gathered today. But some people here are easier to love than others, aren't they? That's the reality of things now that you've seen everyone again. There's going to be someone in this room that you just find annoying, or even someone who has wronged you in the past, or there's someone who you just don't like. That's okay. You don't have to like them, but God calls you to love them, to respect them, to consider what is good for them, to be kind to them, to be other person-centered towards them. And why should we do this? Because the end is coming, when we will see Jesus, the one who has loved us, even when we were his enemies. As we see in Romans 5, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so as we follow this Jesus, his command for us is that we love one another deeply. And we're to do this, we're to love one another deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. That's not saying that love makes everything better after someone's hurt you. It's not saying that love makes up for any abuse that might have taken place. But it is saying that if someone has sinned against you and you respond with love towards them, thinking of their good, not seeking them to suffer in some way, well, that can be so powerful. Can't remember if I've told this story before, but who can remember anything prior to lockdown? To my shame, I remember this story from when I was in high school. There was a guy in my school who I just didn't like. I found him annoying, but we lived in the same suburb. And when I saw him coming towards the train station, I just tried to walk around the other side of the platform or behind the stairs. I'd intentionally just try to get away from him. Terrible thing to do. But one day, maybe it was his birthday, I can't remember, he found me under the stairs, which he sometimes did. And on this day, he gave me a lollipop. And it was just that a simple act of kindness. And it made me realize what a jerk I was. That act of love covered over my sin. And I didn't try to avoid him after that. We are to seek to be a church. What we're longing to be is a church that is devoted to loving one another. And so today, is there someone who you should particularly show love to? Even to those who have sinned against you. So, that's love. Thirdly, let us offer hospitality if the end of all things is near. This is an interesting one. Pray, yes, love, yes, offer hospitality. Why is that? Well, Jesus, in the end, will show us great hospitality at the eternal feast. And so we are to offer hospitality to one another as well. Don't need to do a feast, but that's what we're called to do. Maybe it's having other people in your home. Now, this was a big deal for people back in the first century. There was no Airbnb back then. And so if someone was traveling, they depended on people taking them in, opening up their homes for them to stay before they continued on their journey. That's what people were kind of obliged to do back in that culture. But don't get me wrong, it was still an imposition. You had to feed them. You had to sort out the spare bed. You had to talk to them when you were expecting a quiet night. And also in the early church, they didn't have buildings like this. But for God's people to meet together and to hear the word of God, people had to open up their homes and have church in their house. A friend of mine on the outskirts of Sydney, a minister friend, he planted a church, a new church, and for the first year or so, they met in one of the church members' house. And my minister friend was so conscious of the burden that this must have placed on them, hosting 20 or 30 people for church each week in their home. And so the temptation back in the first century, but also today, might be to grumble over having to provide this hospitality. And so Peter here calls the church to offer hospitality without grumbling. But maybe for today, the first thing we need to hear from that verse is offer hospitality. Back in the first century, this was a cultural expectation. Today, it's an optional extra. And of course, right now, it's a new addition to what we are allowed to do, and there's still limits on how we can do it. But with the end in mind, and with restrictions easing, and with God's people to love and encourage, will you be willing to show hospitality to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, even those beyond your friend's circle? Now, of course, we all have different capacities for this, with the homes that we have, our situations and other limitations. But are you willing to open your home to others? Because there is that special connection that occurs when we do, isn't there? Something happens when people connect in people's homes. And please don't hear me saying you need to fall into the trap of putting on the fancy lunch or having the house that looks like it could be on a magazine cover. Leave the feast up to Jesus later on. A cup of tea and a Tim Tam would do nicely. Actually, I don't like tea, so I'll just take the Tim Tam. But, you know, you get the idea. Some of you might be doing this right now as we're watching church online. It's great to have you doing this, having other people in your home. And I know from church, there are people who are willing, who are watching now, they're willing to have you over. If you'd like to watch church, maybe not here in the building, but at someone's home, let me know if you'd like to join at their place on Sunday as well. But of course, with the other half of the verse, when you offer hospitality, don't grumble, says the Lord. And grumbling may come because hospitality is costly. It's costly. It costs money to host others. by the Tim Tams. It may mean that you have to get around to cleaning the bathrooms. It costs you time, costs you energy. And if you're like me, you'll be tempted to grumble about this. But my friends, remember the end. Jesus is coming back. But an act of hospitality might just give someone a deeper connection with God's people. And that connection might just be the thing that helps them persevere in following Jesus right to the end. All right, one more. Finally, the end of all things is near, so serve. So serve. If the door is narrow to enter the feast of God's kingdom, how will we stay the course and come in? Well, he gives us his Holy Spirit to change us. He gives us his word, the Bible, to guide us. And he gives us one another to serve us. Part of why it's so great and important that we gather together once more is that we can serve one another as we gather. For us to keep trusting Jesus right to the end, God has given us one another, the people in this room and others at All Saints, to help get us there. And for each of us, to each of us, God has given gifts, abilities and talents and passions to serve one another. Now, I spoke at length about gifts back in the Holy Spirit series. You might like to revisit that. But we had this definition come out. A gift from God. A gift is any activity or ability of a Christian which is used... Oh, I've still got the error from last time I preached this. Which is used for edification, for building each other up. And so 1 Peter says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You've all got something to use. God's given you something to serve one another. And we're to be faithful stewards. Do you know what a steward does? Well, a steward manages the household. And so we're to use these gifts to help manage the household of God, the church. And as the passage goes on, there's kind of a couple of categories of gifts. You might have a speaking gift as you teach the Bible. Well, if that's you, then you're speaking the very words of God. So as you prepare to lead that small group or have that conversation with a friend reading the Bible, work hard at understanding the Bible and then speak the word of God to others. Or if you serve, our passage says, do it in the strength that God provides. Not draining your resources personally, but relying on what God has given you to serve. And so, like Tom, I've been so encouraged to see so many people using their gifts, both in lockdown, but also for today, just getting church back up and running. You know, we've got Matt and Louise with Toys and Tucker. We've had Jody and Scott do the balloons, or Matt with coffee later on. People at the front door, people... on the tech and music, you know, there are 18 people who are rostered on just to make this service happen. But it's not just the official people, the rostered on people. How might you use your gifts even today to serve God's people? Might be an informal way, a word of encouragement, or might be in an organized way. If the end of all things are near, there's not too many more important things to do than serving the people of God so that we all may keep heading towards the narrow door, trusting Jesus. And so with the end in mind, think through if there's a need that comes up or when the form comes in your email of how you might serve at All Saints next year. Keep the end in mind so that we all may serve one another and head towards that end. Because what we want more than anything else is that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And so imagine if someone is so encouraged by your service that they praise God. Or imagine that if something you do for others leads them to trust God a little bit more when something hard comes, or to be thankful for God for what he's done. We should expect that if we speak the words of God or serve in God's strength. And we're to do it so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And so to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Friends, today is All Saints Day in the church calendar, a day where we celebrate all that God has done in our church family. And I'm so thankful that we can meet together here in the building as well as online. And what a great day of praise if we are people who pray, who love one another deeply, who offer hospitality without grumbling and use their gifts to serve. That's who we want to be as God's people at All Saints North Epping. And so, friends, be alert. Be of sober mind. Look for opportunities to do these things and bring to mind the end when Jesus returns and welcomes you and all of us to his glorious feast, so that we may do all that we can to help one another persevere in trusting Jesus to the end. Amen.